Hey Coheroes, here we are in the final episode of my three-part feature on fluoride in drinking water, and boy have we covered a lot! If you're listening to this episode and haven't yet listened to podcast episode 21, which is the case for fluoride with dentist Dr. Riggenheimer, and podcast episode 22, the case against water fluoridation with toxicologist Dr. Peter Dingle, stop right now and go and listen to these first. I also encourage you to head to lauratrotter.com/fluoride to enter your details so you can get your hands on my free summary of this three-part feature on fluoride in drinking water. This download wraps everything covered in this three-part feature in an easy-to-digest guide, plus it also contains a review on water filtering systems should you decide to head down that route. So head to lauratrotter.com/fluoride to get your copy. Now let's dive into the final part of my three-part series on water fluoridation, where I touch on some of the main points covered during the series to help you get clarity on this issue. Welcome to the EcoChat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an ecoceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco-heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco journey. So let's get started. If you're anything like me, I'm sure that when you are listening to both Dr. Heimer and Dr. Dingle present their views on water fluoridation, you could appreciate both of their views. I mean, our health system is really struggling and can't deal with increasing numbers of patients flocking in to go under general anaesthetic to have teeth extracted. And yes, from a toxicological perspective, there's a strong case to be concerned about the ingestion of fluoride. While Dr. Heimer and Dr. Dingle have strongly different views on water fluoridation, interestingly, and not surprisingly, they agree that above all, our diet, and more specifically, sugar and processed foods, are the big issue, the root cause, the elephant in the room, whatever you want to call it. Our modern Western diet is not only destroying our teeth, it's making us really sick. What we eat and drink has such an impact on our health, but it also impacts the environment too. I want to take this opportunity to share a story about my experience with diet and tooth decay with you, and I'll be really honest, I'm really ashamed to share this, but it's important so you can make sure that it doesn't happen to you, and that's really the reason I'm sharing, because I don't even think my closest friends know this. I pretty much eat an organic whole foods diet, and if I'm not drinking water, I'm guzzling herbal tea, homemade kombucha, or enjoying an occasional glass of organic wine. But it wasn't always the case. I've always been mindful of eating healthily, and I credit much of that to my mum, who taught me how to cook from scratch from a young age. But I did get off track in my early 20s. At the time, like from the age of 22, I was working as an environmental engineer at a very large mine in northwest Queensland. And I worked what's called a 14-7 roster, so we're talking 14 days in a row of 12-hour or more shifts, followed by 7 days off R&R in Townsville. It was hard work in hot and humid conditions, and I was tired. By about day 9 through the roster, I would really start to struggle. Now, I've never been a coffee drinker, so while other colleagues could get through their fatigue by downing regular cups of coffee, I turned to something else to give me a lift. I was also trying to lose some weight because the long hours behind the computer and all-you-can-eat buffet dinners at the mine mess were taking a toll on my figure, so it was no surprise that I chose a certain brand of Diet Cola as my heart starter. At the end of the day, I was, a child of the 80s, a teenager of the 90s, and that really was the era of diet soft drinks, and young women in particular were really heavily marketed to. Not that that's an excuse. But anyway, it wasn't too long before I couldn't make it to even 6:30 a.m. in the frigging morning without a can of this Diet Cola. And I also needed a top up at lunchtime to get through the long afternoon. I'm not sure if it was working very long hours or my growing consumption of Diet Cola or the hot and humid weather conditions or a combination of all three, but my migraines, which I'd suffered on and off since my late teens, suddenly became much more frequent and stronger. I'm not referring to a mild headache, take a Panadol and keep on pushing through kind of migraine. I'm talking about vision auras, throbbing headache, nausea and violent vomiting, take strong medication and ride off a few days in a dark, cool room kind of thing. So initially they just occurred on my days off, so I could manage them by just staying in bed for a few days and no one needed to know. But after a while they started occurring at work and on my days off, what seemed to me like all of the time, and then by then I knew that something really had to change and fast. Round about this time, I also had a dental checkup. My teeth were painful whenever I bit into anything cold, and this could even occur if I just drank a glass of cold water. The dentist who gave my checkup in Townsville, he pointed out that I'd worn the enamel almost down to the tooth at the top of my two front teeth. I basically had two discolored grooves right at center stage of my smile, which is not a great look for a single girl in her early 20s. We chatted about my diet and there were no issues there, but I did fess up that I was drinking Diet Cola pretty much every day. He attributed the worn enamel to the acidity from the diet soft drink and advised me to drink it with a straw to avoid having it contact my teeth. And here I was thinking, what the, you know, it only really took me a split second to acknowledge that using a straw wasn't going to solve anything. I needed to get off this stuff and fast. And I hadn't really been drinking it long in the great scheme of things. I mean, I didn't grow up drinking soft drink. It wasn't even allowed in our house. It just came about because I guess a lot of other people, a lot of my colleagues were drinking it. If they weren't drinking coffee, they were drinking cola or Diet Cola. And what just started as occasional, it came on pretty quick. I mean, the stuff's very addictive. But anyway, so I got off it. I think it was the very next week after this dentist appointment where I went cold turkey. I felt crap for the whole week. My headaches got worse before they got better. And for at least the first few days, I could barely think of anything else. But after that week, it was gone. Never again. I was free. So I'm talking about the year 2001, so 15 or 16 years ago. I also booked in to see our family dentist, Dr. Heimer, in Melbourne after strong recommendations from my elder sister who saw him first, and he fixed up my front teeth. So this involved having white fillings placed in my two front teeth. It was a painful procedure as they were so sensitive. Plus, I had to have the anesthetic put in my gums. Dr. Heimer also said that the fillings would need to be replaced every 2 years or so. And I thought, bugger that for a joke. I didn't want to go through that procedure again, let alone every 2 years. So, you know, I made sure that I never drank acidic drinks like that again. And of course, my clean eating, whole foods journey has just continued and deepened over the years to where I am and my family are now. And we proudly are a whole foods organic and a very low sugar household. And it's paid off. I mean, those fillings that were supposed to last 2 years are still going strong after almost 16 years. And to be honest, I'd actually forgotten they were there. It was only preparing this feature that's reminded me. Okay, so I know I've gone a bit off track here, but I want you to really understand that diet does matter. It matters with everything, and it's not just sugar, it's other processed fake foods and drinks, especially those that can create acidic conditions in our mouth, which destroys our teeth. And these drinks don't have to actually contain sugar to be acidic, you know what I mean? It's just the acidity from them. Whoa, now that's off my chest. So let's get back onto the subject at hand, and that's water fluoridation. Now, in episode 21, the case for water fluoridation, dentist Dr. Gimheimer, the very dentist that put those fillings in my teeth all those years ago, I got him to share his view on the topic. Now, he referred to the World Health Organization stance on the topic, which is, and I'm quoting directly from their website here, that fluoridation of water supplies, where possible, is the most effective public health measure for the prevention of dental decay. They then go on to say that fluoridation is the single most important intervention to reduce dental caries, not least because water is an essential part of the diet for everyone in the community, regardless of their motivation to maintain oral hygiene or their willingness to attend or pay for dental treatment. In my chat with Dr. Heimer, he compared a typical day in his dental practice in Melbourne, where the drinking water is fluoridated, to a typical day in Mildura, a country town where the drinking water at the time when he worked there wasn't fluoridated, and they were vastly different. He also presented many reasons and background information on dental care to support his belief that water fluoridation is in the best interest for the general population. Now, his main concern is the impact on an already struggling health system that would occur by an influx of patients with mouth infections and decayed teeth needing extraction that tie up hospital resources, as well as people presenting with health implications that are linked to mouth infections such as heart disease, pneumonia, low birth weight babies, and premature babies. So Dr. Heimer acknowledged that anti-fluoride groups do have some valid arguments, but he strongly believes that for the general population, that is those who don't get to the dentist regularly and those who eat a highly processed diet high in sugars, which, come to think of it, is most of our population. So he believes for these people that water fluoridation is a fantastic thing as it offers them some protection against tooth decay. When we chatted about the increasing trend in people filtering their tap water or buying bottled water, Dr. Heimer said that basically if you're flossing, brushing, have a low sugar diet and going to the dentist and getting your teeth cleaned every 4 to 6 months or whatever you and your dentist or hygienist work out, and you're not having any problems and you're obviously filtering your water, well, that's fantastic. It's obviously working for you. But he did say that if you're doing all of these fantastic things and you or your kids are doing them too, and one child or you are getting decay in your teeth, that's probably because genetically your saliva may be too acidic. And he said that if that's you, you do need to think about what your options are. And he said in that case, your option really is fluoride. Now, in part two of this feature on fluoride in drinking water, I spoke with acclaimed toxicologist Dr. Peter Dingle to hear his perspective on the issue. Now, he presented many reasons and background information to support his belief that water fluoridation is not in the best interest for the general population due to health implications, ethical issues around mass medication, susceptibility and safety factor, and even epigenetics and concerns for future generations. Dr. Dingle went into great detail on why he also believes that all water, including rainwater, should be filtered. And if you haven't yet listened to that episode, I do suggest you go back and listen because Dr. Dingle does go into a lot of detail. All right, so I said I'd sum it all up a little bit more and talk about water filtering options. So, to filter or not to filter, that is the question, listeners. So if you live in an area of low rainfall or an environment without access to fresh and pure rainwater or surface water, then you do need to rely on the main source. And then you need to make a choice whether or not to filter your tap water. So if after taking into consideration all the cases outlined in part 1 and 2, of this feature on water fluoridation, if after taking into consideration all of them, you choose to filter your water, you will need to choose a suitable filter. And actually in the episode with Dr. Dingle, he did talk about the Brita filters that are commonly available in the Australian market and just how they don't touch fluoride and they're just moderately okay for some of the other compounds that you want to be filtering out, things like chlorine and even metals. So these days, there's passive filters available for under $200 that can remove many impurities, including up to 90% of fluoride. And the most economical and convenient filtering device is a passive jug such as the Filter Pure models. And there will be a link in the show notes below this episode where you can go through to look at them further. So the Filter Pure water jug removes up to 99.9% of contaminants found in tap water. However, it retains beneficial minerals like calcium, magnesium, and potassium, which help make you feel quenched after you drink. At 3 litres in capacity, it easily fits inside a refrigerator. So the filter capacity is 600 litres, or approximately 200 refills of the jug. And there's no need to count the litres as the filters don't expire. The water flow just becomes slower and slower until it's time to change the filter. So another option you have is to purchase a larger bench filtering unit, and I've got a link in the show notes again to a different, obviously this larger filter, so such as a 10 litre ceramic fluoride water filter. So unlike some terracotta units that you can find on the market, this stoneware and ceramic filter system, it won't grow mold or become stained or deteriorate with age or even leave a clay taste in your water. So the unit that I linked to, it includes one high quality ceramic carbon core super filter that lasts around 2,000 litres, which is around about 12 months in an average household. So I also wanted to just talk about drinking water bottles with you, because regardless on what you decide to do with your tap water, so filter it or drink it, I really want you to get off single use bottled water. So when it comes to reusable drinking water bottles, I personally use and I love the stainless steel Eco Cocoon bottles. They're extremely durable, they're insulated, which is a must in the hot climate I live in, and they're also condensation free. But you can also purchase reusable drinking water bottles with inbuilt water filters, so you can filter your water on the go if you choose to. And I've also linked to Filter Pure's range. Okay, so that's just some of the options that you've got for filtering water if you choose to decide to filter your water for fluoride and other elements as well. So in summing this massive feature on fluoride up, and believe me, I've poured hours and hours into this, and not just hours working and typing, a lot of hours thinking about it too, and making sure that I'm presenting the best data and information to you so you can decide what's right for you. So in summing up, obviously you've heard the many reasons both for and against water fluoridation in this review. Fluoride arguably has a role to play in preventing tooth decay and mouth infections, which can lead to more complicated health issues that place strain on our health system. However, whether this role is via drinking water supplies will continue to be highly debated. There are many documented health and toxicological impacts of fluoride consumption on human health, and it appears there may be impacts we still don't fully understand, such as in the area of epigenetics and impact on future generations. But the one common thread that both dentists and toxicologists agree on is that our diet needs to change. Without a doubt, sugar and processed foods and drinks are the root cause of many modern illnesses, and the sooner you and your children embrace a diet rich in whole foods and one that's low in sugar, the sooner you'll enjoy optimum health. So if you're looking for assistance to help you quit sugar and transition to a whole foods diet, there's so many great resources out there these days to help you. And again, in the show notes, I point you in the direction of a few that I recommend. And these include Sarah Wilson's I Quit Sugar Cookbooks, an 8-week program, and a friend of mine, Lisa Cord, of Small Steps to Whole Foods program. But bear in mind, if you eat a low sugar whole foods diet, you significantly reduce your risk of tooth decay. But as Dr. Heimer said, there may be a hereditary disposition to more acidity in your mouth leading to decay, even if you still do everything that you're supposed to do right. So if you choose to remove fluoride from your drinking water, ensure you practice optimum dental care and maintain regular checkups with your dentist. Okay, phew, that's it. This is quite a big one. And as you know, I really am an environmental professional, not a health professional, but there are so many instances where the two do overlap. And You know that I got on this topic of fluoride in drinking water basically just from my passion in trying to get people off drinking single-use bottled water. So I still really believe that we do need to be drinking water out of a reusable drinking water bottle. So regardless of what you choose to do, look after yourself, look after the environment, and go out there and help make green mainstream. And if you haven't yet logged on over to lauratrotter.com fluoride to get your freebie on this three-part series, and it is a great little document that will be available from mid-March, but you can pop your details in there right now so I send it out to you. But yeah, head on over there and take all this into consideration, and good luck in making the decision that's right for you and your family. All the best. See you later. Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofire Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.